Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see you all today. It's a bit rainy, but we need rain during the winter time. And compared to the rest of the world in the United States, California is a wonderful place. You know, we are still very, very warm. And we feel sorry for those who are dealing with all that Arctic winter weather, but pray that God will protect them and keep them safe. My prayer for all of you is that we will meet God as we worship together and hear the voice of God, that God has speaking through us, through the scripture, that we may all hear the word that we needed to hear. At the end of the school year, a kindergarten teacher received gifts from her children. First, the florist's son handed her a beautifully wrapped gift. The teacher held the gift above her head, shook it, and said, "I think it's flowers. Am I right?" "Yes," said the boy. Her second gift was from the daughter of a sweet shop owner. The teacher held the beautifully wrapped gift above her head, shook it, and said, "I think it's a box of sweets. Am I right?" "Yes," said the girl. The teacher's third gift was from a boy whose father ran the local liquor store. Once again, it was beautifully wrapped. The teacher held it above her head and shook it. But as she did so, it started to leak. She touched a drop of the leakage with a finger and put it on her tongue. "I think it's wine. Am I right?" "No," said the boy. So the teacher tasted another drop of the leakage. "Is it champagne?" "No," said the boy. The teacher tasted another drop, but unable to recognize it, conceded defeat. "Okay, I give up. What is it?" The boy said, "It's a puppy." Isn't it true that even by employing all our senses, we sometimes have difficulty figuring out things that are in our arm's reach? Our knowledge has a limit. On the other hand, God's knowledge of us has no limit. This morning's gospel lesson teaches us that Jesus knows everything about us, therefore can predict where we will be in the future. Jesus goes before us and is present in our troubles when we feel that God is absent. But it is contrary to what the disciples did. They ran from Jesus when Jesus was in trouble. The setting of the gospel lesson was the Garden of Olives, right before Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. In the gospel lesson, Jesus foretold three things about what his disciples and he would do. The first two were that the disciples would run away and Peter would disown Jesus three times. The disciples did run away, and Peter did disown Jesus on that very night. The third one was that Jesus would go to Galilee before the disciples. And we want to think about the third one in detail now. After the crucifixion, the disciples lost meaning in life and became disillusioned and purposeless. The only thing left for them was to return to their hometown to build life again. The northern Galilee was home to many disciples. They were born and grew up there. They had a support system through their families and friends there. They spoke Galilean accents, and there was no other place like Galilee. They needed to be in their hometown for comfort as they were grieving for the loss of their beloved teacher. What they needed more than anything was to sustain their livelihood. While accompanying Jesus, sustenance was never an issue. Now they were on their own. So they reattached themselves to the Sea of Galilee. They knew the weather pattern of the sea. They knew the sea spots where the school of fish swam around. And the disciples were very seasoned fishermen. Plus, they were hard workers. So their success potential was very high. They were very confident, accordingly, that their old profession could sustain them. Upon returning to Galilee, they fished not only for a few hours, but all through the night. Did their fishing go as they expected? John 21 says that six disciples and Nathanael were fishing. They caught nothing by the morning. Their time and efforts ended in vain. So think about how they felt right there in the shore of Galilee in that morning. The morning in Galilee after the failed fishing portrayed very powerfully a moment and a place of bitter disappointment. The disciples were already discouraged and disheartened before they returned to the Sea of Galilee. But no productivity after hours of repeated throwing and pulling their net made them physically drained and their spirit more depressed. The good news was that the story did not end there. Jesus met them at the very moments and time of discouragement. Jesus told them to throw their net on the right. When they cast it, they caught so many fish that they could not hold their net. Jesus even prepared breakfast for them on the shore. Galilee, to the disciples, was a place of disappointment, but Jesus transformed it into a place of renewed hope. The disciples felt the absence of Jesus through the night in Galilee. But Jesus knew their struggles and met them in the morning. So let us go back to the gospel lesson this morning. Jesus foretold the disciple that he would go to Galilee before the disciples did. In Matthew 28, the resurrected Jesus told the ladies at the tomb on Easter morning that he was going to Galilee before the disciples. He told them again. Why did Jesus say that he would go to Galilee before the disciples? Because Jesus knew the disciples so well. Jesus knew how much they would become discouraged after the crucifixion. Jesus knew their personalities and tendencies. He knew what kind of decision they would make. He knew that they would return to Galilee and resume their old fishing business. There was more. Jesus was familiar with the Sea of Galilee also. He lived in the Galilean town of Capernaum and did ministries centered around the Sea of Galilee. So considering all those, Jesus accurately knew beforehand that the disciples would return to Galilee. Jesus could picture what the disciples would face after his crucifixion. It was why he said he would go to Galilee before them and meet them there. So apply this to our personal situations, our personal lives. Jesus knows us and is very familiar with our Galilees, that is, our ways and our surrounding, where we try to build our life but experience frustrations and failures. That's where we experience in our Galilees, the same way the disciples experience in their Galilee. In our Galilees, we exert all our efforts, but our labors do not always come to fruition. As a result, we feel the absence of God in our Galilees. However, Jesus knows our path and goes before us and meets us in our Galilees, where we feel so discouraged and feel like that God does not care for us anymore. You know, I often shared with you that, you know, God places messages in my heart for you and for me, and I've got a confirmation that this message is something that God wanted me to share with you. And I'll tell you the reason. Gary, last Sunday, gave me this book to read, The Reader's Digest, from January 22. And the place that he wanted to share was the story that fits exactly the message that I was working on. Isn't that amazing? And I mean, to me, that's a work of the Holy Spirit, and that's a confirmation that I received from God that this is something that God had planned for all of us this morning. And let me share that story with you. And it's an excerpt from the Strangers in the Lifeboat, written by Mitch Albom. It's a lot longer, and I have cut and pasted to shorten it, but basically I'm sharing the shortened form of that, the same story. And let me read that. It's been 3 days since the galaxy sank. No one has come looking for us. We are short on food and water. Sharks have been spotted. Many of us are losing hope for survival. Then in the morning, we pulled the young stranger from the sea. He wore no life jacket, nor was he holding on to anything when we spotted him bobbing in the waves. After we introduced ourselves, we waited for the stranger to respond, but he just looked at us. Nina touched his shoulder and said, "Well, thank the Lord we found you," which is when the man spoke, "I am the Lord." "Oh, you got a first name, Lord?" Yanis asked. "I have many names." "What is your real story, mister?" Lambert said. "I am here," the man replied. "Why are you here?" Nina asked. "Haven't you been calling me?" We glanced at one another. It is true. most of us at some point have cried out for divine intervention. Please, Lord, help me, God. Is that what this new man meant? Haven't you been calling me? Still, I never considered what I would do if I called for the Lord and He actually appeared before me. Nina spun toward the man. Are you some kind of a messenger? Are you going to save us? I can only do that, he replied, when all of you believe I am who I say I am. No one moved. You could hear the smack of the sea against the boat's sides. Finally, Jerry, who is too practical, said, well, you let us know when that happens. Until then, we better adjust how we ration the food. Even though the story is fiction, it describes very well how we would react to God's presence in our Galilees. You know, I mean, we ask for God's help. We ask God to intervene. And then when God shows up, it's like, is this real? In our Galilees, our discouragement causes us to feel like God is absent. We walk on the dark path of our choosing. We are the one who fail God, but God doesn't. In our Galilees, we face frustrations and failures like the disciples underwent. Their areas of confidence and competence are shattered against our wishes, and sustaining livelihood becomes a real challenge. And when we feel Jesus failing us, that's only our feeling. In reality, Jesus never fails. He is present in our Galilees. He has the power to transform our Galilees and prepare a table for us to celebrate life right in our Galilees. Amen.